Good morning. Our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. That will be on page 976 of the black Bibles under the seats in front of you, if you want to grab one of those to follow along. Please stand with me as we read God's word. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, would you just help us right now? Thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your word that speaks to us. So I pray that you just help us to hear what you have to say to us. Help me to speak clearly and helpfully. And above all, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and sink them deep into our hearts and give us deeper affection for Jesus? That's our hope. We pray these things in his great name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, we're continuing on in Ephesians chapter 1, moving a little slower than we had hoped originally, but that's okay. That's a good thing, I think. And so we heard in Ephesians 1 so far, as Paul is going through this, he's kind of broken out into this praise to God for what he's done in Christ. And he's already told us that we are blessed in Christ, that we find ourselves in Christ. And we said, well, how did we get there? And he said, well, you were put there before time began. I predestined you to be in Christ. And then he told us about three blessings. First, he told us about redemption, the forgiveness of our sins because of the blood of Christ. And we looked at that last week. And now we have the next two that he's going to talk to us about today, and that is the Holy Spirit and an inheritance. An inheritance and the Holy Spirit. So here's our sermon summary for today. God has left nothing to chance. Your future is bright. God has left nothing to chance. Your future is bright. The question that I think we need to ask as we approach this is, how can I be sure? How can I be sure that the inheritance that we have is really ours? And so that's the question that I want to kind of have in our minds as we go through this and be considering. How can we be sure that we have the inheritance God has promised to us? Here's what he says in verse 11. In him, meaning in Christ, once again that phrase repeated many times, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, if you're following sort of Paul's flow of thought, and if we had read this all together, when you got to this point and you heard about an inheritance, you would say, well, of course, we have an inheritance, because back in verse 5, he said that we were adopted. We were predestined to be adopted as sons. And so, of course, what do sons get? The firstborn son, to be specific, receives inheritance. So it makes sense that he would then continue on, and when we get here in verse 11, that he would say we have an inheritance, because after all, we've been adopted as sons. The question is, what are we inheriting exactly? What Paul wants us to see is that the privileges and everything that Christ has earned is ours. And so he's speaking to some Gentiles, and they're probably thinking, well, the promises of God from the Old Testament are for the Jewish people. What do we get? And he's saying to them, making very clear that they understand, all of the promises reside in Christ. Therefore, if your faith is in Christ, you receive all of the promised blessings from the Old Testament. Now, here's a summary that we've talked about before that really helps us here in Ephesians. A summary of the scriptures of what happens throughout the Bible could be this. God has always planned a people for himself, a people to reveal his glory to and display his glory through. God has always planned a people for himself, a people to reveal his glory to and display his glory through. That's what it looks like in the Old Testament. This is kind of what he's promising and doing throughout the Old Testament. And then, of course, once Christ comes, and what Paul is saying here is going to say the Holy Spirit comes in us, and now we are the people who God is displaying his glory through. And so as he's talking to Gentiles and Jewish people, he's saying good news. Jews and Gentiles alike are now God's people and receive all of the blessings, all of the inheritance that is Christ's. The location of those blessings is where? It's in Christ. So, for the Jewish person who repents and puts their faith in Christ, congratulations, all the inheritance is yours. To the Gentile person who may not know the Old Testament scriptures, may not know the promises, they don't know Father Abraham, they don't know Genesis chapter 12, they don't know all these promises made, yet still, repentance, faith in Christ, inheritance is theirs. So you can imagine how sort of mind-blowing this is. You know, these people don't even know the Old Testament scriptures like we do. How can you just grant them everything? Because the location of them is in Christ. That's why. This is not about a people who accomplish the things that God asks them to do, and then he rewards an inheritance to them. This is about the one person who accomplishes everything God demanded, Christ, and everything is awarded to him, everything is his, all authority has been given to him, and if you find yourself in Christ, that's the only location then that you can receive this inheritance. That's the only way to know that you have the inheritance is if you are in Christ, not a certain lineage, not a certain heritage, not following a set of rules, but being in Christ, faith in Christ. So, think about that today. Let's put this in some modern language, maybe. The person who is a murderer or the person who is a religious goody-goody, both of those people who repent and put their faith in Christ receive the full inheritance of Christ. All of it. The person who has memorized the scripture and the person who doesn't know any of the scriptures but yet places their faith in Christ, maybe knows one scripture, they place their faith in Christ, and all the inheritance is theirs. The person who has been in church every week and the person who has never darkened the doors of a church but has just become a part of this community hearing the good news of the gospel. Both those people, all the inheritance, they receive all of it because it's in Christ. So Paul asks these Gentile people, would you like to have all that God promised his people in the scriptures? And they're thinking, we would love to. However, we're not Jewish. And he says, good news. In Christ, all yours. It's all yours. Circumcised Jew, uncircumcised Jew, all of them, repentance, faith in Christ, it's all theirs now in Christ. Now, we'll get into this a little bit later, but if you're asking what is the inheritance and you're merely thinking of things or blessings, I think the inheritance is really God himself. That's what he's giving us, himself, all of who he is. And he's putting us in himself, wrapping us in him, and we're wrapped up in the divine. That's the big inheritance that we're really getting. He's withheld nothing, not even himself, from us. So how can we be sure that we have this inheritance? You know, if you're promised an inheritance, or if I'm promised an inheritance, I probably would like to see the bank statement every now and then. You know? I want to probably log into that account every month and make sure, okay, it's still there. Good, okay, good. We're good. We're good. And so you probably want to make sure over and over, because we're kind of banking our whole future on this, no pun intended, but we're banking our whole future on the fact that we have this inheritance, right? Because we took a job that would not make as much money because it didn't matter. We just did something we enjoyed, knowing that we didn't have to have a huge 401k. So we got to make sure that that's there. If that's not there, our whole life changes, because the way we've been approaching life has to change. How can we be sure? How can we live without this worry every day of wondering, is our inheritance sure? Here's the first reason we can be sure. Let's look at the text in verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Wonderful. having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So do you see what Paul does? He says, listen, your inheritance, you have it because of something God has done to you, not because of something you've done. Do you hear that? It's rooted in you being predestined in Christ. So you didn't earn it. You're not going to lose it. It's about his work, his action on you. It depends on his action, not your action. So I want you to receive that and know it's sure. You can come back to the account statement, which is right here in these scriptures every week, and remember where your inheritance is. It's in Christ. Thank God it's not in me. And you're refreshed. It's safe. It's in a safe place. Now I want you to consider the statement maybe that sticks out to me more than any other in this verse. And that is, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, listen to this, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. According to the counsel of his will. So now think of counsel that you and I get. I have a few people that I go to when I need counsel. These close friends that I can trust. And I get outside opinion, kind of an outside outlook, on to make sure that my thinking isn't crazy. You know, I say to them, like, tell them the story, am I crazy? And I let them talk, you know, and see what they have to say. I get their counsel. If you need legal advice, it's called legal counsel. Because you're getting somebody else's input about what you want to do, about your desires, about something, a choice that you're going to make, and you want to make sure that's right. Here it says that God works all things according to the counsel. Okay, whose counsel? Where is he getting his counsel? I would like to know this wise sage. Of his will. That's where he's getting his counsel. What he desires to do. What he desires to do is what is done. End of story. He doesn't seek outside counsel. It's the counsel of his desire, and that's what's done. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So what does that tell you? I think this tells you something amazing, and that is that God planned before time to do this whole thing, to save humanity, to rescue humanity and wrap them up in himself. That was his desire. So his desire was for us. His desire was to allow us to experience all that he is. That was his desire. I wonder if you have that in your mind when you're reading the scriptures, that he had such an intense love and desire for us to know him in his fullness, that he planned all of this so that we might know him more intimately. When you study theology, are you thinking, you know what? He did this because he desires me to know him intimately. Or do you have this picture of God that is sort of this stoic, you know, sort of kind of separated, far off person? What is God's face when you imagine him? What does his face look like? Is it a stoic, a displeased? Or is it this God who worked all things according to the counsel of his will, and so he wanted us to be so close to him, he did all this so that he could wrap himself around us, that we could be wrapped up in him, that we could know him so intimately. It's his face of pleasure and joy and love for us. Paul clues us into something kind of behind the scenes, and that is that God desired to do this. This was his will to do this. He did this because he desired to do it. Now, let's jump back to the inheritance thing. Let me ask you, does it make any difference whether you have an inheritance or not? Of course it does, right? Imagine if you were adopted by Warren Buffett. Does that make a difference in your everyday life? Of course it does. You know, maybe you think, I've always wanted to start a nonprofit, but I couldn't because I had to make sure that I saved and was responsible and all that blah blah responsible adult stuff. And now I'm done with that because I got an inheritance and I'm going to live free. and I don't have to build something, and I don't have to do all this. All I need to do is do what I desire to do most. I'm going to do that. And so I'm going to start this nonprofit, or I'm going to serve in this area. I'm going to do these things that I could have never done because I didn't have an inheritance that was sure. Now I have an inheritance that's overflowing and abundant, and it will never run out because my father is so rich. What's this? It's the same thing here. Now you can live in a way that is so free because you don't have to earn. Put that in spiritual terms of earning your righteousness. Put that in those sorts of terms. Now you don't have to do any of that because it's all sure in Christ. And now you can live freely out of a love for him and a love for others. And you can just live without having to make sure that the balance sheet is going to be in the black at the end, basically. It is going to be because it's in Christ. Now go live freely, love freely. Of course, it makes a difference if you have an inheritance that is sure in Christ. But we ask again, how can we be sure that we have it? We can be sure because it's based on predestination. It's based on God's work, not our work. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth in the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now look briefly with me just at this sort of the amazing way, after he's just got done talking about predestination and God's work, you might think, again, we've talked about this before, you might think, okay, I just sit back then and do nothing. This has nothing to do with me. But look how he says people come to be saved or come to faith. He's talking now to the Gentiles, and he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth. So the first step was that they heard the word of truth. So how are people saved? Well, it's by hearing the word of truth. How did the Gentiles know that they were predestined by Christ? Well, they heard the word of heard the word of truth. First of all, they heard the gospel. How will your children come to faith? They will hear the word of the gospel from you, from us, all of us, over and over and over again. How will your neighbors come to believe the gospel? They'll hear it from us over and over and over again. Classmates, teammates, how will they come to Christ? Through hearing the gospel, like it's always been since then. They heard the word of truth and the gospel. That was the first step. They heard about Jesus and believed in Jesus. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, what about creation? Was it six literal days or not? How can you trust the transcripts of blah, blah, blah? Am I supposed to believe that a fish really swallowed a human? And all these things. Those are great questions. We have an apologetics class that will help you with those, by the way. And you can come to that on Sunday mornings. That was free. And so, those are great questions. I'm not demeaning those questions. But what I'm saying is the focus is Jesus who he said he was? That's the focus. They heard about Jesus. Did they believe he was the Messiah? Yes, they did. They believed in him. That's salvation. Faith in Christ. That's it. It's quite simple. How do you know you have this inheritance? How do you know you've been predestined? Chosen in Christ? Because you heard the word of the gospel and you believed. That's the only way that could have happened. Heard, believed. And it says then, continuing on in verse 14, they heard about Jesus, they believed in him, and then Paul says they were sealed with the Spirit. What does this sealed with the Spirit mean? This is both sort of a guarantee that you're in Christ and also a bit of a foretaste or like a down payment of your future inheritance. And this is why I say our future inheritance is really God himself, because if the Spirit is a down payment, the Spirit is God within us, and it's a down payment to a future greater experience, which is God in us, us in God in a way that we've never experienced here. How can we be sure? sealed, past tense, done at the moment of belief. You hear the gospel, you believe in the gospel, sealed in the Spirit at that moment. Done. Finished. It's sure. The minute you believe, sealed with the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this, if you want kind of a, give me some practical application of how this works itself out or how this is helpful. Well, let's consider Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So do you see what he just did there? He said, what's going to happen is you're going to sort of start to doubt that you are in Christ. You're going to probably doubt, is faith really enough? Just believing that Jesus is who he said he was, repenting of my sins and putting my faith in Christ, that's it? I don't know if I'm in. And Paul says, let your heart not be troubled, you know. The Spirit, you're given the Spirit, why? To remind you that you are in Christ. And to give you hope in those moments of doubt. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God and heirs with Christ. So the Spirit plays a very active role in our day-to-day lives of helping us remember that this inheritance is sure and it is ours. And so God in his kindness gives us his Holy Spirit to do that work. Not only sealed, but look at verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Like I said, down payment, first installment. So you think about, what will it be like to be united with Christ fully? Well, I don't know, but I know a little bit. I know what it feels like to be united with Christ here. I know what it means to be in relationship with Christ here. And that experience of that ebbs and flows. I know what communion with God feels like here, and that ebbs and flows. But it's just a down payment. The fullness of it is coming. And that will not ebb and flow. And it will be the best experience here won't even touch the experience there, if you can imagine. It's just a down payment. So how can we know and be sure that we have this inheritance? We have the Spirit who's sealed us. We have the Spirit who is a down payment. How do we know we have the Spirit within us? How do we know that we're adopted by God? I think it's the same way you know that you're your parents' child, you know? How does Kate know that I'm my father's son? Well, she knows when I yell things like, no one's leaving until we find the remote, you know? And that takes me back to my childhood, and I heard that a lot. You know, it's things like that. She's like, you're obviously your father's son. I can go in the mirror and look at myself, and it's not exactly my dad, but it's pretty close. There's a lot of features that I see that are really close, right? I've got part of his DNA in me, so mannerisms, the way I speak, all those things, you know, personality, all those. I've got part of that from him, so you can see him in me. And I think that's what Paul is saying here with the Spirit. It's the same thing. We're going to know what it is to be one with him, and people are going to see him live in and through us. Galatians 5:22, this is again the Apostle Paul writing to a different church. He says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so you and I, when we start to see these things well up within us, not fully, because it's not the fullness yet, but we see them. We see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, they ebb and flow, but we start to see them grow in our lives. We start to see ourselves be conformed to Christ by the Holy Spirit's life in us. And it's really surprising. Oh, my goodness. I have love for other people. This is clearly not me. This must be another life that's within me. It is. It's the Holy Spirit within us. I'm having patience every now and again. I'm having self-control every now and again. Yes, God is doing a work in you to conform you to Christ and let you see what it's going to be like, just a little taste of what it's going to be like when you get to receive the fullness of who he is, the fullness of his love and his patience and his goodness and his gentleness. You see a little bit of it in one another. We see a little bit of it within our community, but we'll see all of it when we're with him one day. That's the full inheritance, receiving all of who God is on that day. We'll take full possession of it one day when Jesus returns and takes us all, resurrects us all, gives us new bodies, and takes us all with him to the new heavens and new earth. One day we'll know him like that. Until then, our prayer is that our friends and neighbors and those around us see the Holy Spirit doing a work in us, and they get to interact with God in a way when they interact with us, because God is in us. And so they are sort of interacting with God and hearing from God and watching God in a sense when they watch us live together, and they get to see a little bit of something that they hopefully desire, and God again brings them into the fold as well and births faith in their hearts because they have seen God in the midst of a people. The Holy Spirit within them, who has sealed them and made them sure of their inheritance, which changed them and made them live in a different way. They're being conformed to Christ. And all of this, as we end, is for what? Verse 14. Until we acquire possession of it one day, for what reason? Ultimately, to the praise of his glory. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for all you've done for us in Christ. You have adopted us. You have redeemed us. You have given us an inheritance, yourself. You have sealed us with the Holy Spirit, given us a little taste of what life in God is. Thank you for doing all of this work for us. And I pray that it would be more than just understood by us. Would you help us to really receive this truth and really remind us that you're in us and living through us, and do it in a way that proclaims the good news of the gospel to our friends and neighbors and coworkers and children and grandchildren and everyone we're around, to give them a taste of something that is the best experience ever, life with God. Do that in and through us, we pray. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. It's in your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen.